It's very nice to be here. Though Shom Shadron used to call Sunday Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius. Apparently we work on Sundays here, it looks like. I thought I'd just share a few ideas with you. You know, when you're in transit, you haven't got time for Yishuv Adas, so just a few ha'oros on the union of the Pirkei Avos. Kol Yisroel Yeshem Chelik La'olam Haba. There's a Nefesh HaChayim in the first section. Yeshem Chelik, not but La'olam Haba. Very important nekud of this. Says of Chaim Velozina, it's not the pshat that you've got your little piece of real estate sort of labelled under your name in Olam Haba, and you've just got to pay enough money to get it. That's not the pshat. You've got a chelik in Olam Hazeh, which will allow you to build your Olam Haba while you're still in Olam Hazeh. You've got a chelik le for the sake of Olam Haba. Olam Haba is something amorphous. It's not, Chas v'Shalom, I don't want to say it badly because people will get the wrong idea, but it's not something tangible which is there. It's something you build for yourself. Hasidim say Nishtas the Tzaddik is in Olam Haba. Olam Haba is in the Tzaddik, and that's the inyan of Kol Yisroel Yeshem Chelik Le Olam Haba. Now let me share with you an idea. Olam Hazeh Dam and a Poser Shnei Olam Haba. This world is like a poser, a corridor to Olam Haba. Haskein Haskuch of a poser, Yeshet Yisconek L'Tzaddik. I always had a problem here. Olam Hazeh Domel HaProzdah. It is a Prozdah. What does a Prozdah mean? It's an anteroom, a corridor. Olam Hazeh Prozdah, Domel HaProzdah. But then, if you analyze it a little bit, a corridor, what is a corridor? A corridor is totally and entirely a means to an end. You're here, you want to get there, right? A corridor has no relationship with the end. It's not part of the palace, it's just a way to get in there and you forget about the corridor. Olam Hazeh is nothing like that. In Olam Hazeh you actually acquire your Olam Haba. So it's only Domel HaProzdah, where a Prozdah is something which is detached from the end. Mashenke in Olam Hazeh is actually the Tachlis is already there. This is what we definitely call the Ichud Tzibur Mesubur V'Ruchnius, a cause and effect unifying Ruchnius. If you're going to do something which is Ruchnius, you've already done it by doing it. The Moshe. Moshe goes to Paro to ask Rishus to send the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. It's Gavaltik and Merid Malchus. How could you tell the Melech Godel that you want his best sort of gang of slaves to go out? How could you do that? Says Rabbi, the very fact of asking is Chayrus. Therefore the cause and the effect are one. The Sibba of Chayrus is also the Totsah. Each one unifies. And this is Kol Yisroel Yeshem Chelik La'olam Haba. We've all got a Chelik which will lead us there. Pirkei Avos is an achrona l'kabbalas haTorah. There's no doubt. I mean, we have the tikkun of saying Perek, of the six Shabbosos between Pesach and Shavuos, and it's fairly obvious, because you've got to be misakin your midas in order to prepare for Kabbalas haTorah. You know, somebody once said that, what's the shape of water? Well, water has no shape. Well, it doesn't have no shape. It does have a shape. It has a shape of the keli in which it is contained. Right? And if you put it in a dish, it'll be a dish shape. Put it in a tube, it'll be tube shaped. And in a box, it'll be box shaped. And the Torah is compared to mine. The Torah is compared to mine because it takes the shape of the keli in which it's contained. Right? This is so important. The midas of a person make the Torah. You know, someone was talking to me about the gadlus of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. It doesn't need any haskamas. A poster gadol. I saw the gadlus of Shlomo Zalman in an incident which is almost trivial. You know, in Yerushalayim there's an unwritten rule that a lady doesn't sit next to a man on the bus. You know, people are careful. Shlomo Zalman was sitting in a bus in Yerushalayim and a lady from out of town came and sat in the seat next to him. He was actually going to get off at the next stop. He didn't. He stayed one more stop so the lady shouldn't think he's getting up because she's there, not to put her to shame. That's what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. No wonder you have a Zarkeli, that's why you get. That is the Shlomo Satira. It's just a Guzma Ba'alma, but it's so indicative. And unfortunately, this is sometimes a thing which is a little bit neglected. This concept of being the proper keli for Kabbalah Satayot. There are many aspects to this. Moshe Rabbeinu is told, "Asher you a tifa machshova from a bleib chasman the Ayyadol." He was called by a Nazi thing called the Ilui of Musa, right? The bleib chasman. Actually, it was my uncle's rebbe in Slabodka. My uncle Rudnik's his rebbe in Slabodka. He says as well, Moshe Rabbeinu is told, "Swear to Midyan, destroy them, wipe them out." You couldn't have a mitzvah of a gufo more direct than that. Go, Moshe Rabbeinu is told, personal command. The Benishim says, "Go and get rid of the Midyanim." What does he do? He sends Pinchas. So to Rashi, why does he send Pinchas? Because it can't be kofu tov. He grew up in Midyan, so therefore it will be against the hakaras atov he has to have for Midyanim. Now, start thinking for a moment. You've got a personal tzivri of the Benishim to get the Ein Kleiner up. Midas, yo, Mishnis, don't come into it. Just do what you're told. That's what I would have thought. Isn't that right? There are times where, if you're in a delicate balance, you don't know what to do, should I or shouldn't I, the midas can sway it. And if you've got a clear and definitive request from the Rabbanit Shalom, go and wipe out the Midyanim, then why does it come into it? You clear that your midas? I would say logic, bottle of Darcy a million times. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu sends Pinchas, he doesn't go himself, which are my cars, I'll tell you. Says of Leib Chasman, you see, you're so niflop in what the meaning of midas is from this story. This indication of story, this sipur in the Torah Kedusha. Moshe understood that if he was asked to do something which in any way compromised Midas Tovus, it could not be the Rotzon Hashem. Therefore, the Benishim didn't want it. If the Benishim would have wanted it, then he would have put it in such a way which offended the concept of a Kozotay. That's what he understood. So he understood he had to carry out this command, but not by himself, because that would be something which is a kabiyachol that Elisha wouldn't be able to do. Chas v'shalom. If you understand what I mean, he would never request such a thing. That's where midas go, manush into the omei ka'inu.
But he could ask the Alamad, the
Moshe Rabbeinu was kula Torah, and if somebody understands Torah, then does it with that something there. You don't have to tell anybody anything else. It couldn't mean anything else. Right? It's like saying, I'll give you a motion. You say to somebody who's a great adventurer, go and look after your life. Well, what does it mean? It means that it's kind of thing. That's his language. That's the fluff. This is how it is. Midas are enwrapped with the requirements of the Torah Kedusha. I had an uncle, a wife did, in Antwerp. His name was Yaakov Yossi Schreiber. He was nifted some years back in London. And in 1946, he was in Antwerp, and the Leif Simcha, who was a war survivor, who became the Geir Rebbe, was also in Antwerp. He needed somewhere to stay over Shabbos. And the Yaakov Yossi Schreiber was glad to offer him hospitality. I don't know if he gave him the flat, or he looked after the Leif Simcha for one Shabbos in his flat. 30 years later, the Leif Simcha made a visit to Antwerp, and what a fuss that would be. The Geir Rebbe, he was then the Geir Rebbe, comes to Antwerp. There's a big Geir contingent there, but they came from all over the world. It's very rare that the Geir Rebbe spend the Shabbos outside Eretz Yisrael. Very rare occasion. Certainly in that Kufa, they didn't. And it was a big excitement in Antwerp. There were literally hundreds of people who came, Geir Hasidim, from all over Europe and America to spend Shabbos with the Rebbe. He was there only a few days, and he literally could make no visits. He wasn't shy enough to make a visit, because, you go to one, you've got to go to everybody. Of course, he went to the Geir Shtiebel, and that's it. My wife's aunt, on a Sunday, just after Shabbos, got a phone call from the Gabba, suddenly, that the Rebbe's coming to your flat in half an hour. You get a bit sort of nervous about it. The Geir Rebbe came in half an hour. She ran desperately, she put together some lekka from Bromford, half an hour later on the dot. The Leif Simcha came with a whole entourage. The flat was flooded with people. He sat there for Menucha, and he gave brachos to the whole family. And he said L'chaim, and he said, "Maybe you wonder why I came here." He said, 30 years ago, I needed somewhere to stay, and the Yaakov Yossi Schreiber gave me his flat. Now I'm the Geir Rebbe, so there's no reason why I shouldn't come and say thank you. I'm not forgiven the Leif Simcha. This is the way a God will be Israel has an understanding of what Hakadosh Baruch Hu means. And this is the Yisrael. So therefore, it's not surprising. On the contrary, it's essential that this is the time when midas are stretched and are put to the test. When we have Kabbalah Torah, therefore we need a tikkun for them. It goes even further. Even the potential of bad midas is destructive. It's a chiddush gadol. This is Rav Chaim Shmulevitch. It's a chiddush gadol that Eliyahu, the older brother of David, would have all the qualities necessary to be a melech. Everything. Ad kedei kach, Shmuel Anovi, Shmuel who saw Baruch HaKodesh. You know, Shmuel was of the greatest in the Vim. He saw him, he's sure that this was going to be the melech. Everything was there. And Rav Mishnah said, no, Kim Astiv, I've rejected him. Why? Because of his kaas. What was his kaas? When David HaMelech came as a young man then to fight Goliath, then he met his older brother. His older brother was angry with him. He lost his temper. Chas v'shalom, didn't go nothing beyond that. He spoke harshly to him. He spoke angrily to him. How could you leave the sheep and just come here? He said, right? So somebody who can be the kaas can't be a melech. He's not a melech. Not the shat. This is what my Rebbe Reb Nosson always used to say. Not the shat. He can't be a melech. He isn't a melech. A melech is someone who's in control. And if you're not in control of yourself, how can you be in control of other people? It's a good thing that people nowadays should understand that. You can't be in control of others if you can't control yourself. Right. The only problem is, the story of when he got angry happened afterwards. At a time when David HaMelech was anointed by Shmuel, this anger never happened. So why was he possible then? Because of anger which is yet to be. This is what Ochan Shmulevitch asked. And he answers so poshut. He says he had the potential of anger. And the potential of anger is a lack of shleimus. Right? It's rather like a bridge. Right? The bridge has never collapsed. But under a certain weight, under certain conditions, it would collapse. It's not the fact it will be a dangerous bridge. It's already a dangerous bridge. It may not fall today or tomorrow or next week. But it's got this potential weakness in it. It's already got that chasod. And midas is so severe that even the potential of midas worse is so destructive that he's going to have all the qualities of a melech ba'enei Shmuel Anovi. And nevertheless, the Bereshit says, no, ma'astiv, it's not for me. The tikkun of midas is so essential for Kabbalah Torah, each according to his own level. So it's no one, Pirkei Avos. We have to learn Pirkei Avos at this particular tikkupa. One thing we learn from Perek. Perek is not there as a basic crash course for Bali Tshuva. No way. Perek is there to tell us how to live as Eden, and it starts on the premise of being I mean, it tells you about attitudes, above all attitudes. You know, I once heard in Yisrael last year, somebody said, in the world there are two types of attitude, the maxi and the mini, and I'll illustrate it. Illustrate it in a parasha. In the parasha of Pesach Sheni, it says, Loma Nigro. Why should we lose out? The people brought the Korban Pesach, so what should the rest of the people say? Oh, Baruch Hashem, we're potter, we don't have to, we were Tommy. Tommy, according to the Gemara, it could be for a mitzvah, but they were Tommy. So, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to go through all this business of Korban Pesach. No, why should we lose out? They didn't want to lose out. And therefore, because of that, Pesach Sheni was initiated, or the Bereshit was the Medavim Chusay Lezakai, they had a din of Korban Pesach. In the same parasha in Balosra, you find the other way around. It says, V'yisu Mehar Hashem Derech Shloshes Yomim. Why did it say Mehar Hashem? V'yisu Derech, why Mehar Hashem? Because they were on Har Sinai and they got so many mitzvahs. And when they reached 613, oh, how much more, you know, is enough? There's no more room for Svarim on the shelves, we can't go on. The limit. So the Bereshit said, okay, now you can journey. Relief. The Yisru Mahar Hashem. They left the Har Hashem behind. That was something which was gewalt. That's the opposite. That's the mini attitude. I'm glad not to have more. Whereas I called them Pesach and Pesach Sheni, I wanted dafka to maximize. And a simple illustration. You want to know what a maxi is? Someone who wants more. Imagine two wild football supporters, I mean wild in the sense of their level of support, two avid football supporters get a joint ticket for the World Cup. The only thing is, there's going to come a crunch. One person is going to go to the semis and one to the final. They can't both go. and they both alternate until it comes to the crucial stage. One's going to go to the semi-final, one to the final, and they sort of spin the coin. And this fellow is, this is Kane Fagan, his whole life is in this World Cup, dot of this. And he loses out. His friend is going. What does he say? Oh, Baruch Hashem, I don't even have the bother of going up early to get to that ground. He'll be mamish in Avedos because he can't get into that. It's the worst thing that could have happened to him. He wants to be there with the Kol Libe. He's a maxi in terms of football. And what's a mini? A mini is somebody who is faced by very long davening. Sometimes with Shabbos, with Matzah, a Shabbos, with an offer, with this, with a few extras. And he can't face that second minion, which goes on forever and a bit longer. He can't take it. So he's finally going to get up early. He goes 7 o'clock in the morning to some Hashgoma minion, and he comes out at 9 o'clock. He's already filled, he's done a lot, right? And he meets somebody coming along for the main minion. Ah, he says, poor chap, look, he's got 4 hours ahead. I'm going to go and eat my cheesecake now. he's a mini. Baruch Hashem, he doesn't have to sit in shul and daven now. Attitudes. This is what we're talking about. One's got to be a maxi and not a mini in terms of mitzvahs. And that's what Pirkei Avos is telling us again and again. I'm looking at the clock, we've got limited time, so I don't want to dwell too much at any one point. But I think, to a certain degree, this speaks for itself. We've seen it. We know what it's all about. The next inyan in Pirkei Avos, which I thought it could die to mention, is the inyan of Das Torah. One can ask a very simple question. The whole historical tradition of Torah should have been written at the beginning of Brachos. Most of the people tell me, well, where does the Torah Shabbat Peh start? Ma'ima Saiko and Ishmael, that's where it should have been. And yet, Rabbeinu HaKodesh reserved it for somewhere in the middle of Nezikin for the beginning of Avos. It seems to be out of place. Of course it's not out of place. Over the Pshat is Porsche Ma'id. Everybody understands the dinim of Truma, and Tara. If you're a Ma'amin, nobody made it up. Nobody sat there and said, oh, Herr Shemesh is a good time. This mention of Machshavah, it has to be Min HaShamayim. Either you're a Ma'amin or you're not. Nobody could work it all out. So we know Brachos, where it comes from. What happens when it comes to Midas and Hanhogas and the way in which you live? Oh, that each man for himself, you know. A good Yiddish heart, I know what's good for me. And, you've heard the story before. Could easily imagine in areas of human sensitivities and such things, this is over to you. And Chas V'Shalom, the Torah's domo. It's nothing to do with you, it's to do with the Rabbanu Shalom. Therefore, when it comes to Midas, when it comes to Anhoga ben Odom HaChavero, Das Derea, the Pirkei Avos says, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mesinai, all Torah. Your attitudes and your way with people, even in the most mundane and secular areas, is entirely governed by Torah. At the time of the Rambam Rottenberg, somebody left a large sum of money. He left it for the best purpose in the world, unspecified. Now, put up a notice, or put it in one of the newspapers. I've got a large sum of money for the best purpose in the world. The time it's been published, you wouldn't be able to get in your streets. You'd be so many people collecting. Right. Everybody, if you collect for any tzedakah and you don't believe it's the best purpose in the world, you won't get anything. You've got to believe it. It is the best purpose. You name it, it's the best purpose in the world, but no one knew what to do with the money. And the Shiloh took a room debate until it came to the Godel Hadar, and I heard this from my Rebbe of Nossel, Ordman. He got so excited about this that I can't match his excitement, but it's sort of a little bit sort of stuck. Well, about this psak of the Maharam of Rottenberg. He gave a psak. He said, what would have happened if he left no tzavor? It would have gone to his children. And therefore the Torah says, when a man is nifter, his money should go to his children. That's the best purpose in the world. Because if there was a better one, the Torah would have said so. What's this with the tzedakahs and the gemilas chasodim and the yeshivas? Forget it. The Torah says there's a din yerusha. What the Torah says is not that he ever, there are nobody ever in the Rabbanu Shalom judgment. Everything is tefillah. The best purpose in the world is for a man's money to go to his children. If the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't want it to happen, then the money will be transferred somewhere earlier in his life. That's the Seder Olam. And it's Nerva Oyim. It tells you that all our logic just disappears. We've only got one logic, Das Torah. And that's what Das Torah comes. When the Briskerov, first became Rav in Brisk. It was straight after the First World War. The Chaim was Mr. Young, as you know, he had tremendous hardships in the First World War. But this Rav was just about 30 when he became Rav in Brisk. And one of the first dinim he had to Paskim was a dinim Pikuach Nefesh. There was a Yiddish soldier who was accused at the time, it was the time just after the Russian Revolution, it was total anarchy there. They were killing people like Gornish in those times. Literally, hundreds of thousands of people were being murdered. And a Yiddish soldier was accused of treason or spying, and he was sentenced to death. He was allowed one last wish, and he wants to speak to the Biskolov. And the Biskolov wouldn't go. And they sent Nachas Shliach, and eventually the general in command of the area came and warned the whole of Brisk would be omed as being married to Malchus unless he comes. He wouldn't go. After 24 hours, the soldier was released. I've got no idea why. They asked the Brisk Rav, it was Ruach HaKodesh. He said, not at all, it's a Psak in Rambam. Psak in Rambam? Rambam Pastam. If you're doing something that would shorten the life of a Yid, you mustn't do it. No matter how many people it endangers, Shevi al Tasa, or if you mustn't cut the life of a Yid short. I knew, he said, if I went, they'd kill him straight away, so if I wasn't able to go. Suck it, I'm not. Anyway, if you'd ask me the Shailam, perhaps you as well. What do you say to a person before he's killed? It's a good mind, Machazal, Chizuk, Mutaf, and Gavin, and we look after your Mishpacha. That's what we'd have thought. But this girl said, what's Satan Rambam? Rambam said, he don't go, and that's the end of the story. Das is das. This world. And that's why you people go to ask Das Torah. Yeah, a guy observed an incident which took place in America some years ago. There was a seminary girl of about 19 who had a shidduch suggested to her. And she didn't know if it was a matzim, if it was good for her. She decided to ask Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who was then over 90 years of age. And whatever Rav Yaakov said, she'd accept as does to her. And she went and asked, I've got no idea what he said. He couldn't believe it. He said, where in the world do you find a 19-year-old girl going to a man of 90 who's not related to her to ask who she should get married to? It doesn't exist. What's they say for my world? And tough in the grocery world. It's true. But for us, it's the most logical and reasonable thing. You go to a Yaakov or somebody of that stature, you've got Das Torah, Torah's the Emes. I heard from the Lakewood Rosh Hashiva when he was Masrid, when he was Masrid of Shach. He said, of course, Rav Shach didn't know about the world, but he knew Torah, the Torah knows about the world. So by the Torah, he knows everything. So the Shem derail. This is Das Torah. And that's what we find here also, Moshe Kibbul Torah. We're running very short of time. Another inyan which I want to mention, which we have to learn from this, and it's a gevaltig limud to us. The whole of Golos Mitzrayim came about, maybe you don't realize it, because of a lack of self-image. People weren't machshiv themselves enough. How so? It's the Tzifonu at the beginning of Shemos. Paro didn't want the Yidden. It was a common thing, the Jewish problem. Only in those days, or it could even be nowadays, it was not politically correct to expel the Jews, except under cover. They weren't allowed at that stage, because Egypt of Gehalten was sort of like the model society of the time. So he had a very, very sort of underhand way. He made conditions for the Eden so impossible that they had to do mamish slave labor, but he left one thing open, he gave them their passports, they were allowed to leave. Which statements are on there if you read it carefully. And they didn't leave. They accepted upon themselves this degree of humiliation. So they said, okay, you want to be humiliated, I'll do it properly. And they became our body. And had they not been willing to accept, they could have gone at one stage. And then it stopped. This is Nosson Ordman is safer, actually, as Masvid is Barichus. So a lack of self-image. Self-image was a sibah for Golos. And it's a gewaltig azak, people don't realize it. And when you read the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Kol Yisroel Yeshlem Chelek Da'olam Habo, which is the tachlis of the whole Bria, according to Ramchal in Derech Hashem, also in Mesillas Yeshayahu, he says, the tachlis of the Bria is for the Bnei Yisrael to be Mahanas, and the Ikar Noah is in Olam Habo, therefore Olam Habo is the tachlis of the whole of this amazing creation which we're part of. And the tachlis belongs to Klal Yisroel. Olam Haba is the Yuchad of Yisrael, Zoyzot Ramchal, although it may be that the Tzaddiki Umas Olam have a share in Olam Haba, but only as appendages to Yisrael, Zoyzot Ramchal. Except if they become Galen, then they go the whole way. And in this amazing Olam Haba, each one of us has got a special Chelik Miyuchad. That should give one a sense of self-importance, which is very Choshev. Chayev Olam Loma B'Shvili Nivra Ha'olam. And if a person lacks this, if a person doesn't have this self-image, then nothing will go. Everything is the way you see it. You know, they say a Maaseh in Eretz Yisrael, which says it so nicely. There was a Yid who was working in high tech, and there was such a thing as competition from the Far East. The people who are in the business world, you know about this. The Chinese actually do jobs very cheaply, and if you phone up British Telecom, you'll probably get hold of someone in India. You know, this is the world nowadays. So, because of that, the business in which this fellow worked in Eretz Yisrael shrank, it became small, and he was told by his boss, he said, "You've done a wonderful job, nothing wrong with you, oh, but one problem, we haven't got the custom anymore, and you're going to be redundant in 4 weeks. Nothing I can do. I'll give you the best recommendation you want, but I haven't got a job for you." It didn't realize what hit him. It just sort of, his whole world collapsed. After 4 weeks, he was out of a job, and he had a little bit of money saved. It quickly runs out. You know, when it's a hotel, it's a no half nostril, it doesn't last very long. And he was desperate, and he became depressed. And any job which was offered, hasnish for me, no. One day he decided, enough is enough. The first job which is offered to him, he's going to take year much year. He's not going to be redundant and sort of run himself down. Next morning after davening min hashamayim, his friend comes. He says, "Look, I hear that you know, you need a job. I've got a job. It's not exactly the best job in the world, but apis. We need a malava." And then, you know, if you know what a malava is, a malava is somebody who goes in the tender and takes the little children to school and meets them afterwards and takes them back. And if you want to know what sort of job it is, if I would say it, I'd be unkind, but it's not a job for Yiddish boys, right? No way. the Israeli children have got a chiyus in them. And, you know, and to ride with them and try and keep them in order, they're strangers to you. You don't know them at all. And you've got no authority over them. He became a beloved. And he lived through a daily Gehenna. Each day his head was spinning, and the kids' mummies made mincemeat of him. It went on for a week. He decided that it's getting impossible, but I need the panosa. Then the driver says, "You know, you're not doing your job as a malava. What's the shot? I'm doing it. I'm here. Yeah. But your job is to open the door, help them into the van, make sure they're sitting down, and then take them out. He's got to do the job properly." So that's too much already. I'm going to sort of lift these little, I don't describe what I'm talking about, lovely Yiddish kinder. Yep. But before he went to someone called Avishol in Eretz Yisrael. For Das Torah, should he give up the job? So what's the situation? Explain the situation. The Rav said, "What are you talking about? You know what you're doing? When you open the door for these little children, psichos olam. When you lift up the child, you're taking, it's a Knossos Sefer Torah. It's a Yiddish kid going to learn. You're dealing with Sefer Torah, you should be Kedusha. You should be the simple. You've got the most precious job in the world." The fellow didn't know what hit him. "I'm doing a Knossos Sefer Torah, I might as well enjoy it." The next day, he decided, instead of sitting there and letting them start with him, he'll start with them. He started telling them stories, he started getting them to sing. It was such an atmosphere, ad kedei kach, that the kids didn't want to get off the van. They wanted to stay there. Ad kedei kach. A week went by, and he got off the van, and one of the fathers is waiting to greet him. He says, "I have to congratulate you, you're the new malava. But my son told me a week ago a new malava came. It was something amazing. Now my son gets up 5 o'clock in the morning, wakes up the whole house. He can't wait to get into your van." He didn't tell him that. It was not a new malava, it was the same malava, but it was a different attitude. He had a little bit of self-image. He realized the chashivas of what he's doing. The thoughts which I'll leave you with is the idea is that each yid is so precious. The Bereshim gives him a chelit miyukad in Olam Haba. And it's a chibash yaseira shenudas lehem shein bonin l'machum. The person should realize what they are. And in this area, the Daas Einstein, you have to be proud. You have to be proud of being a Yid and the opportunities we have. And I wish everybody great hatzlacha. And whoever organized this, you should have a lot of shifa for whatever you do, because it's a dovah of the kedusha. And Bani Shalom will give you your star for what they're doing. And good morning.